How do you build a high-performance team? That's the question that all leaders grapple with. The challenge in today's environment is that you're told to pull this off on a shoestring budget and that you have to exceed previous year's production. It's an impossible task. Here's how this show helps. Every week, we're going to feature executive and senior leaders from HR, IT, and sales, and they're going to share their best practices and playbooks so you can empower your managers to build great teams. We are Engaging Leadership, and now, here's the show. Thanks for joining us today. This is your friendly neighborhood town strategy nerd, Dr. Jim, joining you live from Transform 2024 at the Wynn Resort in Las Vegas. And today we're going to tackle the issue of getting your people ready to lead. And joining us for this conversation, we have Lejeune, who is the Chief Human Resources Officer at Via del Sol. Lejeune, welcome to the show.
Thank you. Thank you, Jim.
Thanks for hanging out with us today. I think before we dive into the conversation, it's going to be important for the listeners to get to know you a little bit. So tell us your story and some of the things that stand out in your career on your pathway to becoming...
The pathway started quite a while ago. It started when I was a Vegas cocktail waitress. And after being a Vegas cocktail waitress, I decided to go back to school and do something within the HR space. I wanted to protect people. I wanted to be a people person. So I went back. I actually have a bachelor's in behavioral health, which helps me understand and know people. And then I got my master's in human resources management. I worked my way up through the ranks at some smaller healthcare companies, into semiconductors, into tech, into manufacturing space. Then I went back to healthcare now as a CHRO.
I appreciate you sharing that context. I want to dig in a little bit more into your background and your journey. So when we think about your career trajectory, it's very rare for somebody to be an hourly worker, rise all the way up to the C-suite. So when you look at that trajectory that you've had throughout your career, what were some of the key intentional things that you did that helped bridge the gap, or at least helped accelerate the journey from where you started to where you are now?
I was always talking to people who were considered leaders wherever I worked. I always considered myself having a close relationship with my managers. Even when I was a cocktail waitress, I would stay later after we counted the money, understanding what they were doing on the operational side, understanding what it really looked like for management to be management. My father, he owned a store when I was younger. Probably not your average hourly worker is something my husband would say, because I understood owning your own business from a very young age. And I really enjoyed the conversations with management and understanding how to run a business. So when I went back to school, I was very intentional with everybody I had discussions with, my professors. It's really big to have those conversations and to network and to understand mindsets. Was a really big deal for me.
There's a really interesting aspect of your answer that caught my attention, and that was your exposure to business operations at a very early age. How has that shaped your talent strategy, your HR philosophy, your HR leadership philosophy throughout your career?
So seeing people as a 15-year-old working in a store, my dad owned a hip-hop clothing store. You get to see it all, right? You get to see people who don't make enough money, so they maybe want to steal. Their mindset is completely different when you're 15 through 18 working in a clothing store. You don't want to stand up all day. People who complain about folding the clothes. I'm just enthusiastic because it's my father's store. I think I'm the cool kid, even though it's just one little store. We're nowhere some empire or Louis Vuitton. But it showed me day in and day out. I watched my father work as an engineer and then come in and count money. I seen him always open all of the new clothes, hang them up. Everything that he could do, he did over a 7-year period of owning this store and working a job as well. So I learned that in business, when you want something to go right, you just go the extra mile. So it showed me with talent, myself, it starts with me. I have to be willing to go that extra mile, Jim. And that way I can expect that of my talent who comes in, because I'm always going to go the extra mile. So I can show them and lead them on how to go the extra mile and to grow and come in.
So I like your emphasis on going the extra mile and modeling what good looks like. And I think it's going to create some controversy, especially with some of the younger folks that are listening to the show, because there's a common thought process that you should act your wage And the reality of it is that there's degrees to that. And I think if you want to accelerate your career and have success, you should have the mindset of going the extra mile within reason, because that's going to give you the capabilities and the learning that you need to really accelerate in your career. There's a leadership principle that I often say when I'm building out my teams is that I'm never going to ask you to do something that I wouldn't do. And what I took away from your story and your experiences working in your dad's store is that you incorporated that. You saw your dad as the leader of that organization doing the little things to help the business move forward. And that's shown up in how you actually move forward. So I think that's brilliant advice. And I think more people should take that posture rather than taking the posture that I'm only going to stay within this extremely narrow set of responsibilities that's defined by what I'm getting paid on an hourly basis. I appreciate you sharing that insight. What I'd like to do now is get into the big part of the conversation, which is getting your people ready to lead. And one of the common issues when you look across many organizations at any level is that there's a ramp-up period that often occurs, whether you're going from individual contributor to manager or manager to director, that leads to a lot of stress and failure on the part of those people that are getting promoted into those positions. So when you think about best practices that that organizations and leaders should deploy to shorten up that ramp-up time, what's the one or two best practices that you come to mind when you're talking about getting people ready to lead?
One or two best practices. So my first best practice I'm going to tell you about, Jim, is going to be someone has to be a coach to be a leader, and they have to be coached. Okay. That is a really big deal to get anybody ready to be a new manager, to be a new leader. You have to be a coach first, and that's what wins the game. And I'm an athlete by nature in my past. So a coach is the most important part of the team. So when somebody's becoming a new manager and a new leader, they have to coach their people. It's not about you rose from an individual contributor, so now everybody below you, you get to point the finger at and tell them what to do. It is about taking the action, modeling, like I discussed before, and then showing people how to come along with you and do those things. And then asking for real-time feedback, because that feedback is being coached whether you believe it or not. And then always employing somebody who can assist in coaching you, wanting to understand the hard truths of like where you're not doing well and where you can tweak things.
I totally agree with you on the coaching front, but oftentimes I think what happens in the leadership tiers is you have a lot of interchangeability of words that are used. So people confuse coaching and feedback and all that sort of stuff just gets jumbled into a big mess. So sure. When we're trying to define what good coaching looks like, how does that show up in the day-to-day?
Coaching shows up in the day-to-day by asking questions. Okay. Coaching is purely about asking questions and receiving the answer. A good coach is always asking hard questions, wanting to know the answers to the questions. So you are listening in that effective manner. That is what good coaching looks like, is just sitting down, having some questions that you need answered and getting those answers to them.
So I can appreciate that answer, and it does make a lot of sense. Now I'm putting myself in the shoes of an early stage manager or even a new director. And the trick is listening to that answer without rushing in to solve. So what are some of the mechanisms that leaders need to put into place so they're not rushing into problem-solving mode?
They have to sit back and take a breath. I always tell somebody to take a day. My CEO does something that's very informative every time he talks. When he asks somebody a question, he says, "Now remember, we don't have to solve that today." And that allows everyone in our conference room as a C-suite to take a breath, because there's some of us who, and I can even catch myself doing it sometimes, want to spit out an answer. But sometimes you need to sit on that, because maybe that first answer you have as a leader, you're there because you're a problem solver, is the right answer, but you need to sit and think about it. So I always tell everybody to take a day before you solve that answer when you become the new director of a team and you're saying, what has went wrong here? And they tell you, you can't just jump to the solution. You have to know some of the other questions to ask before jumping in.
I think that's great advice. Take a day, take a breath. Whatever you need to do, you don't have to solve this problem right now. I think that's a good sort of prompt for any leader that is trying to build a coaching culture. So great stuff. And I appreciate you sharing that, Lejeune. I know that we could talk about this a lot longer than we have been. So this is a much broader conversation. But if people want to continue the conversation with you, what's the best way for them to get in touch with you?
The best way for them to get in touch with me, engagevitality.com. You can reach me there. Everybody can ping me there. Or you can find me on LinkedIn at Lejeune Simone. And I'm there.
I appreciate you hanging out with us and sharing your insights. It's been a really fun conversation. When I think about the entire discussion that we had, I think the most impactful thing for me in terms of getting your people ready to lead is your point about your experience working in your dad's store and also what that taught you. I think if you want to build a leaderful organization, you as a leader have a responsibility to demonstrate what good looks like. And that means paying attention to the little things. You should never be putting your people in a position to do tasks or activities that you wouldn't do yourself. So this might be controversial, but I'm a big believer in leading from the front and modeling what good looks like. Oftentimes people advise you to lead from the back. I don't agree with that. Maybe I'm wrong. I think that was really valuable in the conversation. And I appreciate you sharing that. For those of you who've been listening to this conversation, we hope you liked it. Leave us a review. If you haven't already done so, join the HR Impact community. You can find that at www.engagerocket.co/HR Impact. And tune in next time where we'll have another leader joining us and sharing with us the game-changing insights that help them build a high-performing team. Thanks for listening to this episode of Engaging Leadership. We hope you liked the conversation. Don't forget to continue supporting us by joining the HR Impact community. You can find our community at www.engagerocket.co/HR Impact. Tune in next time where we'll have another leader joining us and sharing with us the game-changing insights that help them build high-performing teams.